Football. Here are your hosts, the Taco Slayer Jorge and MLS Card Guy Chris.
Oh, welcome into the So Rare in the States podcast. So Rare is changing, transitioning into something beautiful like a butterfly or something. But hey, there's a lot going on, so we need to get the band back together. A classic So Rare in the States lineup. Chris, the MLS card guy, and Trippin' B. How we doing, y'all?
Emmy Award winning Trippin' B. You forgot that part.
The intro. Oh. Spread your wings and fly, butterfly. I love it, Jorge. Thank you, guys. Very much welcome to be back. I appreciate you guys for having me. Thank you. I've been so focused on Charlotte FC that I'm so unreliable for So Rare content because I'm just doing Charlotte FC content all the time. But and Charlotte Independence, Charlotte Soccer.
Yeah.
Non-fantasy version.
Shout out the USL League One.
Shout out.
I'll be at the match later tonight. As soon as we're done here, I'm rushing to a stadium uptown to see the Independence play. Spoke with Zoran Crineta, the Charlotte FC general manager today for an interview. We're cranking out the Charlotte Cincy preview content. I'm just so busy. But when I got the note from Jorge, I said I can fit that in my schedule.
Gotta drop everything when Jorge calls. Oh, that's man. How this works.
Don't float.
And I'm still playing So Rare. I just have been, you know, I do every once in a while put out a video when they piss me off, but I can't really be counted on for reliability. That's my only issue.
No, I gotta say, you're killing it on the Charlotte Soccer Show, interviewing all the MLS people, doing your thing, all those pregame stuff. They look incredibly fun. And hey, dude, Trippin' Sober, it's great. It's like, you know, when you do laundry and you find a $20 bill in your pocket and you're just excited. It's like you see a notification, it's Trippin' B's getting on, you know, on the YouTube. You're like, oh yeah, baby. Yeah. Let's go. So it's
I like that. That's a great analogy.
Yeah, it is what it is. Real quick, shout out to Jay Blaze. Says it's about a time. Jay Vic was in here second. Mike Bassett in the house. Howdy.
Well, and it's 100% about a time. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Let me see. I'll screen share. It's about a time for really real because I have a buddy. This is how crazy it is here in Charlotte. This is how excited we are about Leal Abada coming in. That I have a friend who legit stalked Abada at the airport
awesome.
Yeah, he was there. He was dropping someone off, so he was already there. And he's like, if I stick around a few hours, I see some international flights coming in. Maybe a bottle will show up, and he did. It worked. So, shout out to my buddy Greg.
Wow, oh, that's awesome. You love to see it. We had a few of those, and like Dom Dwyer showed up. There was a big one, Kaká. Like there was a few. We haven't done them in a couple years, but they're fun.
I've got my Abada cards. I've got my in-season Abada rare. I've got my in-season Abada limited ready to rock. Hopefully those 2023-24 Celtic cards will stay in season. And then I'm still not sure if they will, but hopefully they will.
Yeah, that's a big question.
And then maybe I'll try to submit something right now. And then even though he's not going to start, but then I also got my classic Abada. I got two of each as soon as this news came down. And I tried to get a super rare, but people were too stingy. They sniffed out what I was going for, unfortunately, and I could not get a good price. They're still like $600-$700 bucks. Not too expensive because I think this guy's going to crush, but it's more than I got. So.
Oh, there you go, and that's a perfect segue, right? Because we're here, we're here to talk about the new stuff, right? Not to talk, but whatever. So you got the Abada, right? So let's hop into it and give me what is your plan for this new transition? Because there's a lot going on. There's not a lot going on for MLS focused, you know, galleries. Because we stayed in our lane and we're still in our lane, so it's kind of nice. But overall, what is your view on the whole thing, and how are you going to tackle this?
Well, what I can do is I can show you some of the teams I've already started to build. If you check the screen share on that one, I'll just kind of take you through. Like, I started to, you know, put some
the teams. Fact that you can name these teams, I just want to see the names.
Yeah. The names are great.
That is content.
Someone named their three teams YNWA is a cunt. And I thought that was absolutely amazing because I totally agreed with that sentiment. God. But, other than that, you know, so you can see I got the one Premier League sort of in-season team. I got four in-season cards with a rare guy playing down and limited.
Pretty solid.
And then I stick my classic Rodri with him. I think it's a pretty good team as long as Gerbich keeps the start. I definitely need to check into that. My special weekly I'm really excited about my MLS plans here. You know, I bought this Artur card, and I should have bought Frankie Amaya instead, but I bought this Artur. He should, you know, and then Privet. So I got my two in seasons on super rare there. I need to now Enzo Capetti, I found out today, is probably available. So it's a little dicier starting Patrick Ojemong. So I'm going to have to evaluate that. Over here, I've got, did I sell this goalkeeper? Oh, this is funny. I forgot. Did I sell Steve Clark and not realize it? Oh, no, I posted him. It took him out of the lineup because I posted him. Oh,
there you go.
I posted him for sale or maybe. I don't know. So I won a Steve Clark this week. And, okay, there. He's still there. Whew. I don't know why I took him out of there. That's crazy.
He's too good.
Yeah, well, he's not that good. But this is – it's not. Maybe it's just a visual bug and it's not showing him. But this is my rare special weekly team here with the Artur, the Privet, and the Clark. I just won this Artur. So it's funny. I bought the Artur Super Rare, and then I won an Artur Rare. You know, amazing. But yeah, and I got this classic. So I think this is a pretty good team. Privet can be hit or miss, but with it's a pretty good matchup at home against the Quakes for Houston. So I don't mind Clark and Artur.
Talk to me about Kai Wagner, because Jorge will not buy Kai Wagner, even though he just won Andre Blake.
I just don't want to pay the premium for new season.
It's tough, man. He's not had a good start to the year, right? He's been struggling. He's not exactly the Kai of old that we have had been expecting towards the end of last year. So I think it's unfortunate. If you were going to think to buy, I mean, I guess he had the near 100 against you could say he's back, I guess, after last week with the 97, but I mean, he had 220s before that. He's just been a little more hit or miss. So I can see why you might not want to buy Kai, but if you have Blake, maybe you should.
I know. Again, it's just paying the in-season premium, right? Because I don't. Right. I guess I could piece it together, but it's like right now I don't want to. But it, you know, it's. Just,
I mean, I know it's tough having to put this many in-season guys in, but like, you know, you can win them. There's going to be more. Like, even though we're going to lose this MLS special weekly, there's going to be challenger in season, right? That's going to basically essentially be MLS once the summer comes. MLS and maybe a tiny bit of J League and then maybe the Denmark League once it gets going or something. But so, and the Brazilian League once it gets going. But it's very much, and I think there will be more. Hopefully there will be a second MLS special weekly. Remember the Premier League special that just they kind of ran it and they just kind of extended and they just never stopped. They said it's going to run for this such and such date, and then such and such date came around. They're just like, hey, we're going to keep going with it. So who knows? Maybe they continue with MLS specials even after the 3 weeks. So I don't think it's too late to win yourself a couple of in-season cards. So, you know, don't give Sower money. That's the last thing any of us wants to be doing right now.
That's where I'm at. It's too early. Like, we just had it. I haven't really won. I'm starting to win new season cards now. So I'm like, let's see what I win and then plan off there. I got the Blake. I got the goalkeeper. That's the hardest part most of the time. So it's like I have a base, right? You know, I have my little core. And then depending on how these first couple seasons go, because I'm going to aim for the cash right now, because even looking, I went through and looking and like the divisions that I'm in for the new in-season stuff, even like the lowest payment is still less than the special weekly right now for the MLS. So I'm putting all my big guys in the MLS special weekly right now because focus overall, on it's easier to win the money right there and they're giving out a little bit more. So that's what I'm focusing on. And hopefully by then I could win myself a few more in-season cards and then go from there.
If I had bought Frankie Amaya instead of Artur, again, I still think, you know, not being results oriented, Artur was the right decision. But if I had bought Frankie Amaya instead for cheaper, then I would have won double the cost of that Frankie Amaya card just already. So I would have already been up in theory. So definitely if you make the right buy, I think it's okay to buy a card for the special, but just got to make sure it's the right buy, which I didn't do. I mean, it was the right one. It just
I think this is one of the questions because you mentioned you're going into special weekly and you mentioned the divisions. What divisions did you get put into?
For the special weekly, there's no divisions, right?
No, for the live challenger.
For the live. Challenger. That's a good point because that will make
Because Jorge said his payments were easier. Like it's better for him to go into special weekly. What divisions are you in?
Well, that's the thing. For in season, because I haven't been buying any and I don't really have a lot, I'm in division 3 for in season. So it's like I actually haven't pulled up. Hold on.
So I somehow am in classic Challenger Super Rare Division 1. So I guess I should check the prize pools and make some comparisons, but I mostly just play the competitions I want. And
yeah, so that's what I did. So this is the in-season, right, for Division 3. So coming here, $350, like at the bottom of the pool, you can get $5, you know, if you place in the top 350, right? But if you go over here to the special weekly, they're paying out 500 spots, and the last 300 spots are paying out 7. So even if I don't really hit, I'm still getting $2 more. So in my head, I'm like,
if you don't put a team in Division 3, next week you're in Division 4. And then when the weekly's over, you're in Division 5. So does that a consideration? Because, like, here's my thing. I'm in Division 1 for in-season. what right now. I don't really have that great a team, but I'm in Division One for in season. Do I sack that and go to the special weekly and just say like, okay, I'll be in Division, you know, three by the time this is over, and that's fine? Or do I try to keep that team in Division One and try to keep it like every week I can enter a Division One team? Because I think it might. I don't know how hard it's going to be to get back to Division One. You know, like, is this like I have a golden opportunity to like I'm in Division One. I got to stay in Division One with everything I can until I get inevitably knocked out by the.
Not to mention, you'll be facing less competition in Division One because some of those people will choose to put their stuff in the weekly. So like, it's a little bit watered down. Like, it's easier to stay in Division One right now than it will be in 3 weeks.
Mike Bassett brings up a good point. There's no relegation if you don't enter a team. So
interesting.
Yeah. And like, you bring up a good point about the divisions where like, in my head, I don't really even care about the divisions. Like, the only reason I'm looking now is because there's two different places to win cash with MLS cards. So I was kind of like comparing them a little bit. But to me, like, the way divisions work, it doesn't matter what you do. The way So Rare works, like, you're going to have DMPs. You're going to have random misses. Football is just random at times, and you're not always going to hit no matter who you have, right? And you're just going to go up and down all the time. So like going like, oh, should I put it in this division here? Should I put it in this one? I think you should just go in. What is your best lineup? The best lineup for that, like, you'll contest. Boom, that's your first one. All right, what's the second best lineup you can build? Boom, that's the second one. And just trickle down
but
there.
What contest? What contest do you go into? Because you can enter the same lineup in – you can enter the same lineup in Challenger in season as you can in – MLS Special Weekly.
See, but that's on you. That's where it falls on you, and you got to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, what do I want to win? That's the biggest. Instead of like chasing like, oh, what's good over here, what's good over here, and flip-flopping, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and have that conversation. It's a tough conversation. I know we don't like to do it, but hey, you gotta look yourself in the mirror.
That's why I'm starting with me, you know,
right? Like, you gotta start there. Like, what do you want? Like, not what's where and what can I win here. Like, what do you want, Chris?
But what I feel like it's like short-term versus long-term. Like, what do you want to keep it in? You want to keep a long-term view and go for like keeping your teams in high divisions, or do you want to go for a short-term view and be like, this is the competition right now that can win me the most money?
Well, Baston brings up a good point. I mean, if you don't enter in D1 right, and you can just stay in it until August, you could theoretically be building a D1 team just waiting to jump it in. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so what?
Okay, I'm in D1, but I'm not going to play it until I actually have a D1 worthy team. I don't know.
So what happens if nobody plays D1? Like, there's promotion. There's promotion from D2 to D1, and then nobody gets relegated. Like, what? Like, you're just gonna have everybody's gonna be in D1.
I win everything in that point, basically. Hopefully,
literally, Trevor's the only one that enters D1 and he wins first place.
Be amazing.
Yo, that's crazy.
I mean, I guess, but I think. I don't know. I think that you just really have to focus up and like figure out what you want. Like, for me, like, it's either way. Like, if you win cash, cool, you can go in. If you win an in-season card, you could sell it, generate cash, and then make moves with it either way. So it's like you just got to decide. Would you rather win the cash, or would you rather win a card, potentially get something cool, you know, and then go from there and decide from there. So it's like, do you want to put in the extra work, or do you just want to go for gold?
Are people too cash reliant? Like, everybody goes into these special weeklies because, oh my god, you can win cash. But like, these new season cards have a legit market at this point. Like, pretty much everything you're winning is liquid. Like, you can immediately sell it if you really want to. I just sold Sergino Dest. What I won this weekend is already gone. And my plan, honestly, is to flip. So I got the new season Sergino Dest, sold that at the new season price. And now I'm going to go buy an old season Sergino Dest. And I just picked up, you know, $10 plus, I still got my reward because I'm not going to use it in season anyway. Are people too reliant on, I got to have the cash prize? Whereas if you win a card prize right now, because it's in season, you can flip it pretty easily.
For a premium.
Yeah, I mean, the in-season cards are great to sell for sure. But they do kind of, as they say, you're less, the season gets shorter every day. Every day that goes by, you're closer and closer to become a classic card and not an in-season card. So the utility does start to drop. But, I mean, people are paying crazy premiums for sure on these. I think that it's definitely interesting. I think it's a good evolution, to be honest. I think it's the evolution So Rare probably should have made, like, in 2022 when things were still hot. Like, imagine if they had done this at that point. We might never have seen all the huge tanking of prices, because I do think this is going to keep artificially. And I have other friends who say, oh, well, everything in Classic is going to zero. They're concerned about the split, because they say since in-season has such a premium, it's going to get to the point where Classic cards are worthless. And I understand the logic behind that.
But you can win in-season with
it doesn't Classic. Work out. But yeah, exactly. The fact that you can win in-season cards with the new ones, and then you can either build a new in-season collection, or you can just sell those in-seasons and just keep sticking with your Classics. I don't see as big of a problem, but I do think there will start to become a problem if it'll be harder to sell Classic cards. I get it. That's why he says Classics going to zero, is just because like people are only going to be buying in season. But for me, I'm willing to wait it out and see what happens a little bit. And also, like, I've also perfectly made peace. I'm like the rare, so rare player that just basically completely stopped worrying about card values and money whatsoever. I just said,
isn't it more fun that way?
I just said, F it. Yeah. Like, I mean, way more fun. I'm never going to, like, you know, all my money that I used to buy my cards was all fake money anyway that I got from, like, buying crypto, like, in 2017. So it's easy come, easy go for me. And I really don't – I know there's other people who have, like, put income into the game and have lost it, and they're really sad. And I feel bad for those people. But, like, for me, I'm here to play a fantasy game now, and there is still a market. And I would love to, quote-unquote, make money, but I don't think it's going to happen, basically, on how deep I am in the red here. So – it is what it is.
But you're enjoying every minute of it.
I love it. And I'm unquestionably the greatest collector of Charlotte FC cards in Sober history.
Take that, Bob Flynn.
Yeah.
Take that and like it.
Bob, did you guys see that? There's a couple.
Did you
see maybe I'll see trade that? My whole collection for Bob's one of 100 2022 Ben Bender, or one of 10 2022 Ben Benders.
Did you guys see that poll that was, is So Rare a game or is an investment? It was on Twitter today.
Who put it on?
I don't remember who put it up, but I saw it and I voted in it. It was like 75% So Rare as a game and not an investment, which I thought was telling. And I thought I think that's the right way to view it. That's what I said too. But I think we've definitely shifted away from that early adopter. I'm going to make millions off this to, this is entertainment. Like, it's fun. You know,
I just like, I think it's one of those things where like, this is a perfect, and I think someone said it this week. I don't remember where, but like, this is like a place to like really reset. And like, you know what? Start a different sheet on that spreadsheet. You have that spreadsheet. You know what? Start a new one and start tracking things from here. All right. And like, it's one of those things like rip off the Band-Aid. Look, everyone does it. A bunch of wealthy people at the end of the year, you know, they cut a bunch of losses. You know, they tax harvest at the end of the season. It's like sometimes you just got to cut the L, rip off the Band-Aid, and then move forward. And like, you know what? And I actually think it's going to be a lot easier now to like actually like bring in a return like more frequently. Because there
right,
is,
yeah, yeah. If you're starting right now, it's a really good time, I think.
Yeah, sure. If you're starting great, like
people have said that in the past, but
you know, if you can afford to pay up for in season and do that way and then grind your way up there and win cash that way, that's cool. But like, even then, and like I saw this with Rainmakers, I played Rainmakers pretty heavy. Classic competitions, like cards are dirt cheap, like it's easy to play, like it's super cheap, but the competition is also less because people just don't care. Like you are right. A lot of people are going to gravitate to the cash. They're going to focus on that. And like Classic kind of gets a little bit behind. Like, yes, it's still going to be competitive, but overall it's not as competitive as it could be. And there is a lot of opportunity there. And it's a lot easier to move in and out of cards because yeah, they are kind of a little worthless because not everybody wants them. So it's one of those things that they get overlooked. And if you just focus in, hone in and really try to compete there, I think that you can actually make out pretty good.
Yeah. I also think it will eventually like, start to create some collectability and just the sort of siphoning off of Classic into its own division sort of puts more emphasis on, oh, these are old cards. Oh, how old are they? How far back can I go? You know, I just like, it's like, it's not going to like make it happen instantly, but it is going to start to it promotes collectability, even if it doesn't, you know, necessarily create it, but it starts to promote it for sure.
I'm going to let you, cause you make this point better than I do, Jorge, about the number of lineups that are going to come out and how, remember back in the day, goalkeepers were a hot commodity. And now there's more and more lineups that are going to be able to get put out here. So I'll let you make the point. Tell me why I should be buying as many goalkeepers as I can get my hands on right now.
Dude, the trade right now is totally to hoard goalkeepers because, yeah, and like regardless of what happens, like I like to think that I'm pretty disciplined and like I like to avoid FOMOing into things like really blowing a bag unless they're like Orlando City number one limiteds, because yeah, I don't care. There's, yeah. You can't put a price on those. I will get them. But like, it's one of those things that I just, goalkeepers are so necessary just to play a lineup that you're going to need them. And again, it goes back to the point that, like, dude, not every goalkeeper is the same. There are some that are better than others. If they're on a better team, like Celentano right now, Cincinnati's back line is so good. Like, here are going to be racking up scores and clean sheets. And it's one of those things where, like, that premium is going to be insane. And people are going to want more than one. It isn't just like, oh, one and done. Like, people are going to be hoarding, like, multiples of these to enter most of them. And, like, there's just not enough. And I think goalkeepers are going to squeeze, and it's going to be not fun. But
so you're saying there's hope for my Joe Willis special edition that I that I got for like one ETH almost?
Okay, well, that was also a different financial time and a different financial market.
It's a special edition. That's why I'm out here talking about collectability, no doubt.
Yeah.
But we love collecting, right? We like it's part of it.
Oh, we
but
do. Like, that's all my new season cards are just collectible cards. So you can only get them at the beginning of the season. You can use them the whole year.
But even if you look at like Tops or Panini and like actual like trading cards, collectible cards and stuff like that, they're all worthless except for like the low serial number ones, like the 1 of 10s, the 25s, like very rare cards that only 25 people can have. Everybody else that's ripping thousands of dollars of packs is getting a whole bunch of junk. It's literally lighter fluid. Like it's all it is. So it's like the belief that like everything has to be like some like crazy amount of number and all your cards need to be worth something. Like they're just not. Cause in this case, if they're not good fantasy players, there's really no reason why they need to be worth anything. And that's just like the unfortunate reality that like, there's just some players that aren't really ever going to be worth it.
Yeah.
You don't talk that's about true. Danny Parejo like that. He's always worth it.
Hey, as long as John Nelson around, there's always a premium on those.
I think I'm eating that Willis because he's going to, by the end of this year, I think Panico is going to be the guy for sure. For Nashville,
he's already the guy.
Yeah, I think Willis took a slight knock or something, right? Yeah. So
I think it's Panico's.
Or he got a red card. That's what Willis got a red card. Yeah, Willis got a red card. So Panico will for sure be starting this week. And then
handball outside of the box. Come on, Joe Willis. What are you doing?
Come on, Joe.
Bold strategy.
Brutal. Oh. Oh,
that's that was that's the card I wish. I don't know if that card ever, if I ever made anything good with that card. I'd have to check, but yeah, maybe I did.
Well, we know Trippin's a collector, and Chris, you're kind of a collector too. Like, what do you want out of collections? Like, what do we want? Sober's changing. They're always changing things. They're always like innovating, right? What do we want to see them from? What do we want to see collections like turn into? Like, what would you like them to do for your collections of Charlotte cards and DC cards?
I mean, I think they're getting to it, right? They're getting to, you know, the real life, the people that collect are the ones that care about that specific club. You know, like you're not going to collect something if it's just some random club and you want to, you know, play it in a competition. That's not why you collect. You collect because it means something to you. And so being able to add to that value with things like jerseys and tickets and practice experiences and all this fun stuff, I think that's the future of collecting. And I mean, obviously, they're going to do it as an in-season thing, as a way to kind of promote the in-season collection. But I think at some point, we need to also appreciate the older season collections and, you know, show some love to these people and basically say, look, if you own, like, for example, I'll take my baseball collection with my first season Atlanta Braves, all of them. Like, if you have this collection, it entitles you to whatever X, you know, whatever it is. Whether it's like the Atlanta Braves.tv subscription or something. And if you can get the entire collection done, you get the .tv subscription for the year, as long as you keep that, you know, that collection. And that puts a value on the actual collection itself. Now there needs to be some sort of qualifier. Cause obviously if you throw 1,000 limited cards out there and all you have to do is go buy 25 of the 1,000, it is really not that hard to do. But if it's like, hey, if you get a collection with more than half of them have either ones or jersey mints, that's a really hard collection to get. Like, you can't just go buy that from the market. You have to take the time and effort to like really do that. And I think we could see like the highest collection scores in the game get rewarded with some special thing for like past collections as well as the current collection. But yeah, I think that's eventually what I want to see is, you know, I'm not going to collect random teams. I'm not going to collect Chelsea. I don't really care about Chelsea. I'm going to collect DC because it's my team. I'm going to collect the Atlanta Braves because it's my team. And I guess New England Revolution, because why not? But outside of that.
See, they get you.
That's I'm also not number one in New England Revolutions.
So. I mean, I just won two Houston cards. Maybe I'll start collecting Houston.
There you go.
Yeah, but you get I just wish I could get some VIP experiences for my great collection. Yeah. It's so funny. We have like Charlotte, like, you know, they're super fans of Charlotte FC. And they're like, oh, you know, man, I've given this club so much money with all the merch I bought. And these kids are $150. And I'm like, you haven't spent as much as me, bro. I got a Mackenzie Gaines unique so rare card, bro. I've put way more money into this club than any of y'all with your cute little warm-up kit, for sure. But,
can we not have a ranking of like this club all time across scarcity, across year, and just say like, here's the definitive Charlotte rankings, and you know,
I'd like that for a league. It'd probably be too. I mean, this is the so rare team we're talking about here. It's not exactly like the team you trust to come up with an amazing system, but
we come up with all the ideas and I just copy them.
But maybe they could come up with it. Maybe across leagues it'd be a little better. I don't know, but yeah.
No, I think because I was never really into Top Shot, but I followed it a little bit, especially in that first year of NBA and so rare. And like they had like leaderboards, like team leaderboards and stuff like that. And I guess like because each team kind of had its own little hub, they would do. I remember seeing a couple like Orlando Magic posts where like they had their own little group and they would get tickets all the time, like boxes, VIP experiences. And they would all go as a little group to games together and stuff like that while they were collecting Top Shot. And it was like, you know, however many moments or whatever the heck they're called, you own this team, like you go up the leaderboard and the higher up you get rewarded. So I do think that it's possible. It can't be that hard. Top Shot, it can't be that hard.
They're only dealing with one league there, you know? So it's like, it's tough. Yeah. I would love to see if they did it for like all, you know, champion and challenger leagues or something like that, but I don't know. Who knows?
Or they just do it by team. And like, if your team doesn't want to participate, like that kind of sucks for you.
Yeah,
but
that's true. Yeah.
But you just go, you know, you just go to Charlotte and be like, hey, we want to do this X thing, you know, and then get them to sign similar to how they did the licenses.
The funniest thing
is benefit for you.
If they did do that and then they were like, okay, so Charlotte's like, we're going to participate. Okay, we can't wait. We can't wait to meet our biggest stoware.
And then it's you.
And then I walk through and they're like, fucking this guy from the Walker show. We deal with this guy all the time.
It's the office meme. No.
Like, who that? You're tripping, B. What the hell is your problem?
It's just that video tripping behind Weeby, just smacking the Charlotte crest.
Yes. You know it, man.
Do you walk into every like Charlotte presser like that? Just walk in, just smack the crest.
No, I walk in like dodging dirty looks sometimes from some of my colleagues, but yeah, we do what we can.
You can only do what you can do.
Oh, man.
Hey, man, there's a lot of people out here covering this team. There's a lot of excitement. I don't know how it is in Orlando.
Not a lot of excitement in Orlando.
there's some OG like podcasts. There's a few. There's not our beat writers are always kind of out and about. We've had some good ones, but then we ship them off just like everybody else. In perfect Orlando, we get good players and we just sell them instead of keep them and build something great. Oh, you gotta love it here. Oh, but I going back on the whole collections thing, like everyone's always like worried about like this whole onboarding thing and how do we get so rare players? Like screw like fantasy players, screw all these like FIFA players. Like what you need to do is you need to go and get people outside of these stadiums. Be like, yo, you love this club? Look at this card with your club badge on it. This is your favorite player. Like, look at this. Do you know how many people?
That.
Like we go just had
the supporter
Alex
section.
We just had Alex in London. He was like, oh, it was at the Chelsea store and then bought like a pack of cards and all that because he just likes the team. It's like, it's so simple to just do in stadium activities, scan a QR code, have like a stadium wide rivals match. And like the top leaders win like signed jerseys. And like, they, you know what? If you place in the podium on that leaderboard, you get to go hold the flag the next home match.
It's super simple. Yeah. I mean, actually that last thing you said is really interesting. The idea of like just a QR code on the Jumbotron and just see like if you get 1% of the stadium, you've got, you know, a couple hundred new people. So it's like, And everyone loves to play, you know, the dot game and stuff like that. Yeah. You know,
they play a lot stupider stuff on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I actually like that. That's not bad. I think trying to set up like a activation, you know, booth or whatever outside of stadiums not going to work because one of my big cat things that I feel like I've learned, I have like Trippin's laws of so rare, right? There are only two. I'm trying to find the third one. I think how many laws did Newton had eventually like four laws, I think, right? So I'm trying to get up to Sir Isaac Newton's level. But I got two laws of so rare. One rule number one, if the prizes aren't worth winning, the game's not worth playing. That's my number one. And so like when so rare is messing up prizes, that's what kills the market. If the prizes were good, the market would be up, I promise. So rare's issues with having good, consistent prize distribution and making prize awarding actually compelling and positive, has been probably the reason. That's when the company does eventually fail. That will be the reason, is that they fucked up rewards and never fixed them. But second rule of So Rare, Trippin's second rule of So Rare is...
Write these down, by the way.
It's easier to make American gamblers into soccer fans than it is to make European soccer fans into gamblers. So
yeah.
I think the real... As much as So Rare is a European-based company, as much as... You know, France is the largest. There's more French people subscribe to So Rare data than there are any other country. I've heard. I've read that somewhere. Like, and I get it. And the UK is famous for, you know, loving their Premier League and all that. I just don't think I just think fantasy play and fantasy gambling is just such out of the mind of the European mind as compared to it. Fantasy gambling is more foreign to the average European than big time soccer is to the average American at this point. That's just my belief. That's my second rule of So Rare. So I think,
as is collecting, by the way, is a very American.
Right. So I just think that, like, So Rare, if So Rare is going to have a future, it's going to be in selling soccer to American audience. I don't think NBA and MLB So Rare are going to save the company. Definitely not MLB, maybe NBA. So I just think, like, So Rare needs to, like, focus its energy on, like, trying to, like you said, focus on getting Americans who like to build fantasy lineups and playing for money. That's why I think they should be pursuing a gambling license in the United States. If they never get them in Europe, who cares? Create a head-to-head DraftKings-style game with the So Rare scoring system, and you have a company for the next 30 years. So I don't know. I hope they're doing that. That's what I would be advising them to do. Their number one thing is turn Rivals into a head-to-head gambling game. But until they can do that, who knows? I'm not sure if So Rare deserves to be saved, but I will be here. The reason that
we're gonna have fun,
the reason that I can just calmly, confidently say this company's going to zero is because I don't care. I'll still be here. I will be like on Dr. Strangelove riding the nuclear bomb down to the ground, you know, like I'm not going anywhere. So I think that gives me free reign to talk about
crest on the way down.
I'll give you a nickel for your McKinsey gains.
Yeah, myself and Andy Black will be the final two people playing So Rare. It'll be a two-man SO5 contest, and neither of us wins any prizes.
So. Because without the prizes, the platform's dead. And that's
rule number one. That's rule number one. Rule number two, America, fuck yeah.
Oh my god,
that's why we're sober in the States, baby.
yeah exactly. Yeah,
so what you get here? Oh, just
I need a third rule. I need the third rule, the third law of motion, for sure. I need it's formulating back here for sure.
I feel like you already have it. You just like really just need to properly just, yeah, it's in there. It's definitely in there. Oh man, yeah, see, there you go.
Snappy.
They do it for the revs in a giveaway, a Gil autographed jersey. It'll be Nacho Gil.
Yeah, no doubt. Nacho Gil, people love Carlos. Yeah. People love Carlos so much that they've become Nacho fans. It's crazy. I mean, they're lying to themselves, but they do.
It is. It is a sympathy play, but it actually comes good sometimes.
You know, like, you need two heels if you're going to walk. That's a thing. So,
I mean, he's the Nepo midfielder. What can you say?
Oh, man. All right. Okay. Well, to bring it back around a little bit, right? Because things are new. Did we ever get a definitive answer on where we should be focusing, especially with MLS focused galleries? Because unfortunately, most of us just have some weird collections full of nonsense.
You got to focus on the special. I know kind of what Chris was saying, but I think you, for the next 2 weeks, focus on the special. Put your best lineup forward in the special and just try. Just try, because the top prizes are pretty nice and you never know what can happen. So,
yeah.
I when you asked the question earlier of, you know, what. Are we more happy to win cash or cards? We're always more happy to win cash. I think you can maybe win the perfect card for your collection, but that's rare. And so, you know, I was happy to win a Steve Clark in season because, like, ooh, that gets me an in-season goalie. That's great that I was never going to spend actual money on. But I still would sell him for the right price and just skip the in-season because I would still just rather have the cash and go buy a card that I want, not just the one that I could be used. So.
Go buy more collections. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm doing right now.
Like, I literally think, like, winning that Andre Blake, like, well, I wasn't on, like, my priority list of cards that I was looking at for this season, but it's like, that was probably one of the few rewards that I can count on my hand that, like, I've won over, what, going into 3 years, that I'm like, wow, I could use this card. Like, wow, this fits my gallery. This is great. And, like, it just doesn't really happen. So I understand wanting to win cash, but I'm also not trying to put in more money and give So Rare more money. I'd just rather win it than recycle.
Yeah, I think... I think I think you should sell that Blake personally. It seems like you could do a lot with it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no, I was looking at prices today because we were talking about goalkeeper squeezing, and I was like, oh, it's like doubled since I got it in like the last couple of days. So,
yeah, you should definitely sell them.
I got to finish my lineup tonight anyway. So,
yeah, as far as the special weekly thing, yeah, I have basically two lineups worth of in season stuff, and they're both in special weekly. I have no lineups in Challenger in season, so not taking that demotion out of Division One. I was actually prepared to take the demotion. I didn't know that you didn't get relegated. That's kind of nice. But I was just gonna take it. But yeah, we'll be going for the special weekly again.
What I just thought of real quick.
Plus, there's pride. There's pride in winning the special weekly.
That is true.
Look at Professor Teckers. He's still bragging about winning the fucking one shot league 4 years ago on his Twitter bio.
Man, we need Ubisoft back here.
I'm just telling it like it is, man. I don't know. I'm just saying.
You know what? Being that we've been talking about,
there were like 50 people in that league. It was great.
We've been going for like almost 40 minutes, and not once have we even talked about All Star Cap Mode still being around under 23.
Oh my gosh!
Should we be attacked?
I dare you. Put up your screen right now and go find Cap Mode. Go find Cap 240 on the play screen. It'll take 7 clicks to get there. Trust me, it's freaking.
I'm still trying to find my way to navigate around these menus. They have period.
So hard. So you got to go like you got
to
scroll.
Got to go all the way to the bottom. You got to get a cap. And then you got to go to the right one.
Oh, 240, 270.
Yeah. And then you got to go to one. Yeah.
Right. So like, yeah, you got to find the 240, which still has Thresh, if you can magically pick that middle button there.
See, but that's my thing. Should we be degenning into these? Because no one can find them and there's going to be no one playing them. Like, it's the actual move.
If you have the cards, if you have the cards, for sure. I mean, I, like you said, horde goalkeepers. I'll probably have a Joe Willis lineup in there for sure, you know?
Even so I don't have an all-star, a global all-star this week. I didn't prioritize it. I had classic. I filled up my classics first. And I think I have a classic team on every level. I don't have a second classic prem team, but then outside of that, I don't have enough goalkeepers for a global all-star. So I'm not an all-star. I am in U23 and 240, but
yeah, I'm the same as far as being in the challenger region over global all-star. Maybe that's, but you know, I do like to be contrarian. I do like to swim in a shallow pool. So
right? I brought it up and y'all were like, no way.
I could take a team out of classic challenger and throw it in all-star. We'll see. Have they ever fixed it to where they show how many entrants there are? I know there was an issue with that on
the first. From the looks of it, yes, they are on here. They're right here.
Okay,
well, good. They said that's only like what my problem is with the like with in season, right? Or classic season or whatever. There's no way that there's 4,000. Like, look at mine here. I'll show you. There's no way that there's 4,870 people in Challenger Division One. Like, there's no way. It's like, how many people are in freaking Division One?
Yeah,
that's my question. Like, that's what I want to know. I mean, I get you can find how many people are in like Cap 240. That doesn't help me. I want to know.
I'm sure they'll have that info for you real fast, real quick.
Yeah, it's not. They're not gonna have it ever. I want to know how many people are in each of these.
They got them working in shifts at the office to fix that for you, that UI for you, Chris, 100%.
They just changed it for the 10th time in the last week, so, you know.
Imagine that.
They put pictures on it, so I'm happy. I love looking at Porto now. I can see Pepe.
JVic says you might be able to see it after submitting a lineup, so that's a thing. I don't know. We're out here. We're doing the thing. Do you guys have anything else to add? Do you guys have anything? I know Trippin's got to go support U.S. soccer.
I'm definitely going.
Way to go, Trippin.
Hey, I love the Charlotte Independents. They were my first
love. Way to put your time where your mouth is. You know,
bros,
people don't do that.
Bros, I was off work today, and this has been one of the busiest days I've had in a long freaking time. I went to this morning. I drove halfway across town to interview the GM of Charlotte FC, and then I came home to do an interview with Tony Husband of Apple because I forgot my microphone out there. So I had to come home and get it. Then I drive back out there for the coach press conference. I mean, covering a team is crazy. I should be getting paid for this. I don't know. I'm I'm out here working harder than anybody in this freaking market, and I don't even get paid. So
he's an Emmy winner, people. You know, come on.
I do it for love. Emmys for winning is football. It's for American football. I win the Emmys for American football. I do the world football for love, the football. So
it's a global game. It's why we love
it. I mean, if I was getting paid for my soccer coverage, I couldn't like swear all the time and talk shit on everyone all the time and just say whatever I want. So, you know, when I cover football, I'm very much more, you know, behind the scenes. Don't you let other people give the opinions. When I'm talking soccer, I just let the opinions fly. What's up, Dunbar? I see Charlie Dunbar in the house, one of our favorites.
Yeah,
he's got a great question. We could just take Charlotte FC questions for, you know.
Bro, let's go. Game.
That's why you're here.
Yeah. How about I give us predicted lineup? Predicted lineup for Charlotte FC. Unfortunately, Dunbar, we talked about this. I showed my I have a lineup in currently submitted that has a Big Pat captain, a super rare. My MLS special weekly super rare has Patrick Ojemong in as captain. I'm probably going to have to change that because I'm just too nervous now. Dean Smith spoke very highly of Copetti, you know, being in training and wanting to go. It's so tough because Ojemong just got his first goal and like previous managers were famous for like benching young players right after a good performance here. So it's like, I would hate to see that happen again, but I wouldn't be shocked because Enzo just makes, you know, multiples more money and they need to get something out of that investment. So if Enzo's ready to go, I could see it. I could also see Enzo off the bench. I could see this is the game where Patrick starts and Enzo plays the last 20 minutes, and then it flips back to Enzo starting Patrick the last 20 minutes next week. So we'll see on that one. I think on the wings, you're going to have – I think there's a good chance Yuri Tavares starts potentially at the number 10. I'd be very careful with my Brecht Diakra cards here. Jake, by the way, Zardes fan club is going to freaking kill me because I was feeling myself. In the preseason, Diakra had a pretty good preseason, so I was like, oh, this guy's going to be better than Carlos Gil this year. This is – Brecht Diakra is the freaking stud
as a Charlotte
MLS
guy.
Mid that you want. And Jakey, he's like, well – He got a Diagra super rare for like $100, so pretty good price. And he's like, either I have the next Gil for $100, or I get to make fun of Trippin for the rest of the season and yell at him for making me do this. So he'll probably be that. It'll probably be the latter, not the former, because Diagra he has a goal and an assist, but he's kind of given impressions that he might struggle to make the starting lineup every week once we get like a couple more players like Abada and stuff. So. Dean mentioned Tavares potentially at the 10. Tavares has been playing left wing. Vargas will probably certainly be the starting right wing or left wing. And then Diagra could start on the wing. He could not start Tavares. So if I had to guess, though, it would be Patrick. If I had to guess, it would be the same exact lineup as last week. Let's just put it that way. But I think the substitution pattern will be very different. Let's put it that way.
I love the path that we took to get here.
Jeez.
Well,
except for Yuronen. Jari Yuronen is back from Finland, so he will definitely start over João Pedro at left back.
All right, let's end it on this. How are we feeling on Dean Smith's short time here in Charlotte?
Absolutely amazing. There, nothing better. There's like the culture change that he's put into place here in Charlotte is night and day. The previous two guys were both dour, kind of face frowny individuals, guys that just didn't really care to build a relationship with the fans. They were here for the soccer. They were all business, just here for the soccer or whatever, you know. It was a little bit different with the first guy, MAR, but Latanzio definitely had no interest in the fans. So Dean Smith is just a guy who's come in and preached and togetherness and practiced togetherness since he came in. Dino's at the wheel is what we say on Charlotte Soccer Show, and just completely changed the vibe around the club. And so last two seasons we started 0-3, and this year we're 2-2 and 2-1-2, you know, through five games and stuff like that. So good chance to beat Cincinnati at home. I think we just look the part more of a professional soccer club, and so that all credit to Dean Smith on that in a very short time.
Will there be more than one goal scored in this game?
Potentially not, because Cincy and Charlotte are two of the leaders in XG against this year. Yeah.
Since defense, he's allowed two goals, you guys have allowed four.
It's going to be a defensive struggle, except for the fact that I do think there's a potential for some Charlotte floodgates. I really love our home field advantage here and the fact that we got two late ones. Ojemong opened his account. He's very much a guy who scored in bunches last year at Next Pro for Crown Legacy. Tends to score. If he scores, he'll score again. Yeah, so we'll see.
There you go. hopefully the floodgates are open and Charlotte will start scoring. They're always a fun team to watch. They've been fun. Maybe it's a trip and B thing. I don't know, but it's been a good time, and it's and that stadium rocks too. But hey, thank you so much for everybody coming in here. Everybody that was in the chat, all that fun stuff. Hopefully this helped you figure out what's going on. We don't know what's going on. Nobody knows. But hey,
prioritize the specials for now and see, and then learn from your play around the other ones, you know?
Hey, look, we're here for a good time, not a long time. It is what it is. Make the best of it. And Chris?
Memorize Trippin's rules. Write them on your mirror every morning.
They're easy. So
that you wake up and you say, that's what Trippin told me to do. And I'm going to.
And then you look at yourself in the eyes and figure out what you want.
Yeah.
You want
facts.